Blog Talk Radio.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. Oh, Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a new steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-arm bandits crashing, almost haunts down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot the seven with every shot. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Hi, all you movie fans out there. This is Betty Jo Tucker thanking you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. Thanks also to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for picking this episode as one of their staff picks. We really appreciate it. And I should remind everyone that you don't have to be a movie addict to visit here. But if you are one, it's definitely the place for you, especially today, because we'll be talking about the relationship between Hollywood and Vegas, baby. Our special guest is award-winning author Susan Marg, whose terrific book titled Las Vegas Weddings, A Brief History, Celebrity Gossip, Everything Elvis, and The Complete Chapel Guide inspired us to do a show on films about Vegas, including the famous movie star weddings there and the way Las Vegas and Hollywood are intertwined. You might remember that Susan is also the author of Hollywood or Bust, which she told us about a few months ago in one of our favorite episodes of the year, which was co-hosted by film historian James Colt Harrison, and happily, James is back as our co-host again today. Now, we'll bring Susan and James on right after we check with Nikki Starr to see if she's ready to help with the show. Nikki, are all systems go in the chat room?
They are. We got people in there ready.
Fantastic. Now, I hope that the lounge singers and the one-eyed bandits aren't making too much noise for the people in the chat room to concentrate, but we really appreciate them signing up. And I see that Kat Vecchione from Wacko World is there, Richard B. Smart from the Wacko Network is there, and the Wacko Network, so that must be Wacko Bob himself. Welcome to our show about Vegas. I was so happy when Kat Vecchione and the gang over at Wacko Network talked for about a half hour about our upcoming show this afternoon. So thank you guys, and thanks for signing up for the chat. We really, really appreciate all of you. And of course, we appreciate James for taking time to be with us again. We know he's written about the history of Hollywood movie studios, but I'm not sure what his connection might be with Las Vegas. So let's find out. James, have you ever left beautiful La Jolla to go to Sin City?
Where's Las Vegas? I never heard of it.
Well, I don't know whether I would leave La Jolla to go to Sin City.
Well, occasionally I let myself out of the door, and I do go around the world visiting places. And Las Vegas actually is one of my favorite places to visit because there's always, always something going on there. You'll never get bored. Never. It's a wonderful place. Glitzy, yes, but, you know, we like glitz.
It is glitz. It's glitzy. I love the glitzy part of it. And James, you know that, of course, that I did have a very exciting time in Las Vegas back in April of 1995 because I was asked to cover the opening of the Debbie Reynolds Museum there. And so Larry and I were the first two people from the public that was let into that museum. And, of course, that was the time when he and I reunited after being divorced and separated for almost 20 years. So Las Vegas does hold a special place in my heart. And I know from reading...
Sweet.
Yeah, I had to mention that, and that's kind of why I love Las Vegas so much. And Susan, I know from her book that she spent some time in, or has to have spent some time in Vegas, so it's my great pleasure to bring her on now. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, Susan.
Oh, thank you so much, Betty Jo. I'm so glad to be here. And actually, you know, a show about Hollywood and Vegas is perfect. You know,
yes, for you.
My favorite places.
You're the perfect guest if we're going to be talking about Hollywood and Vegas. I mean, that you are number one. You are number one on the list. And your Vegas book, I just have to tell you, it really impressed me. The amount of research you did about...
It was all fun, though. It was all fun.
Oh, you must have had fun, but I really... it isn't the kind of book, you know, like the one that we talked about before, Hollywood or Bust. It's not the kind of one that you can kind of zip through. There's just so much detail.
Oh, thank you.
In this book, and it's, you know, and there are things that you want to remember, so it took me quite a while to read, but I was just so pleased with it. I mean, packed, just absolutely packed with much information.
One of the things that's interesting about Vegas, and it's true, is that it keeps changing. So every time it changes, you know, it just brings in more stories and more life and more interest, and, you know, it keeps going. It's almost like never failed. So
You're right about that.
Yes.
I just loved all the information about so many famous movie stars who got hitched in Vegas. Now, before I read your book, I knew that was going on, but I didn't realize, you know, how many of these. I mean, going back even to the, you know, people like Nelson Eddy, I just was so fascinated with that story. And then also all the films about Las Vegas.
All the films, I know. Oh, it continues to be, you know, it just opens up so many opportunities for, you know, good things to happen, bad things to happen.
Funny things to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I just think you did a great job on this. And, of course, I loved your Hollywood or Bust book, too. So you're on a roll with me. I mean, I can hardly wait till your next one comes out. Now, I know James is eager to ask you some questions, so I don't want to monopolize things. James, you're on.
Oh, my goodness. Where is my script? I can't find my script. The dog ate my script. I'm going to have to make everything up. Oh, okay.
What else is new?
Well, Susan, why do you think Las Vegas and Hollywood make such a good match?
Well, Las Vegas certainly benefits from being so close to L.A. You know, it's the perfect getaway, and Hollywood stars are always welcomed with open arms and treated fabulously.
So
wherever they go, the crowd is sure to follow. And it's been like that through the decades. I think Bugsy Siegel knew this instinctively. When he first opened the Flamingo in 1946, he had the biggest Hollywood stars perform in the showroom. Now, their names people might be unfamiliar with now, but Jimmy Durante, Rose Marie, Xavier Cugart, Georgie Jessel were big. And despite the bad weather for the opening, guests included George Raft, Clark Gable, Lana Turner, Judy Garland, you know, and the list goes on. So there's just always been something simpatico between the two places.
Oh, absolutely, yes. All the big stars did go to Las Vegas in the beginning, and they still go.
They still go. And, you know, they, to a certain extent, they're going to see their friends and support their friends. When Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and the rest of the Rat Pack were filming the first Ocean's 11 in 1960, they entertained during at night in the Copa Room at the Sands. It was the biggest ticket at town, and again, people from L.A. went to Vegas to see them. Gary Cooper, Natalie Wood, Robert Wagner, Tracy Spencer, and the list goes on.
Wow.
Well,
what major event put Las Vegas on the map as America's wedding capital?
You know, it's funny. I don't really see it as, well, to me, the major event was not really a wedding so much as a divorce put Vegas on the map. And it was the divorce of Clark Gable from his second wife, Rhea, that did it.
Oh.
It was 1939. Gable was the biggest movie star in the country. He was beginning to film Gone with the Wind, and he was outed by Photoplay magazine for his relationship with Carol Lombard, which threatened to tank his career. Mm. Now, for a couple of years, Gable had been begging Rhea for divorce so he could marry Lombard. When Rhea finally realized her time was up, she chose to go to Vegas instead of Reno to establish her six-week residency. And again, it was easier to get divorced. It took a lot less time in Nevada than California. So she's in Vegas, and the publicist for the town, and it was only a town then, made sure she stayed busy. At night, she was photographed dining, dancing, playing cards. During the day, she enjoyed the outdoors, horseback riding or swimming. Wherever she went, whatever she did, there was always a photographer and a writer to publicize it. And
how clever.
And, right. And divorces and weddings of movie stars are always good for publicity. So I really track it back down to back to Rhea Gable.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I was wondering about the time when there was a certain deadline when you could get a, if you were married, you would not have to go into the army.
Yes.
I remember said that. Could you explain that a little bit? Because that probably doesn't have anything to do with Hollywood, but in terms of weddings in Las Vegas, that might have been a red letter day. But I don't remember all the details about that.
I'm not sure I have all the details at my fingertips. But it was when the draft was during the Vietnam War was instituted. So, again, the deadline, and one of the things Nevada always did was make it easy for people to get married in Las Vegas. So there was no waiting time. I mean, going in California, again, there's that proximity between California and Nevada, kept making it more and more difficult for people to get married. Not this particular incident that you're talking about, but back in the 40s, they said you had to wait 3 days before you could get married because they wanted to keep people from getting drunk and getting married and regretting it. And then there was another time where they said you needed a blood test before you could get married. Well, they didn't have those restrictions in Nevada. So when people had to get married quickly, which was the case when the draft was being instituted. You know, people just ran over the border or from wherever in the country and got to Las Vegas as quickly as they could to beat that deadline.
I remember reading about that in your book, and of course that didn't have much to do in terms of the topic today, which is Hollywood. But I thought it was an interesting fact about how Las Vegas got, you know, started in the wedding business.
Yes, what sort of, that image and that quickness, speed was of the essence. You know, that happened a lot during World War II also, when soldiers were going off to war and they wanted to get married quickly, they went to Las Vegas. And two stars that did that, I think before obviously they became stars, was Dinah Shore and her husband Robert Montgomery. It wasn't Robert Montgomery,
George,
but her husband.
George Montgomery.
George Montgomery, that's right.
Well, there, but since that time, I mean, it's just been quite the place for the movie stars to go and get hitched. I mean, that there's just so much in your book about these various weddings. And James, is there anything that you'd like to know about the weddings of famous movie stars in Hollywood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sure would. I would like to know, Susan, what your top five favorite Vegas weddings are involving film stars.
Yes, of course. Actually, my favorite Vegas weddings involving film stars involve those that lasted. They didn't have to last forever, just longer than average, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and there are a lot of those.
Wow.
And I think one of the surprising ones is Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. They got married at the El Rancho in 1958, and at the time, the El Rancho was the newest, glitziest casino on the Strip. We all know they were married until Newman died 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They stayed married.
They stayed
married for the longest time as a big Hollywood couple.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's a good choice.
Betty White and Alan London married at the Sands in 1963. Although,
although he was the love of her life. She always says that.
Yes, she does. Yes, and she's written so many nice things about him and their marriage. Although the marriage almost didn't happen because London missed his flight from New York. And then Betty almost didn't say I do because she thought that was a bad sign, his missing his flight. But they did. And their marriage lasted until his death, which was about, they were together about 24 years.
Yeah.
Right. Anne Margaret and Roger Smith of 77 Sunset Strip married in 1967.
Oh, they've been married forever. Yeah.
Right, and they're still together. And it wasn't... She had dreamed of a fairy tale wedding, but he whisked her off to Vegas in his private plane. Let's see, Betty Grable and Harry James. Now, theirs was not the greatest marriage, but they were together for 22 years.
Yeah.
And I also like the fact that Mary Tyler Moore and Grant Tinker got married in the Dunes Hotel.
Oh,
again,
they did.
And they were together for 17 years.
Oh.
And there are others, too.
Well, those are good choices. I like your idea of picking ones that lasted because there were a number of them that didn't. But one of them that did last, but for the wrong reason, was the Nelson Eddy marriage.
And that was a sad story, wasn't it?
Yes. Tell us more about that.
Again, I'm not, I don't quite remember, but he was really in love with a film star, Jeanette MacDonald, yes. And somehow they just never got it together.
And I don't think that Uncle Louie B. Mayer, wanted Jeanette MacDonald to marry Nelson Eddy, and so... They were my favorite pair growing up. I just loved to hear him sing those operatic duets. And poor Nelson Eddy, when he got married, as I remember reading in your book, he was inebriated through the whole. He didn't know that he got married. It sounds like a movie. He didn't know, and he wanted a divorce right away, and I guess the lady wouldn't divorce him and stayed married to him till he died. And I love the way in the book you tell about Nelson Eddy's widow saying, "Well, now they can be together."
right. I had forgotten that. Actually,
well,
you know,
if you have to pick one of the strangest Vegas weddings of a movie star, which one would you pick?
I would pick the wedding of Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton in 2000.
Oh, I would agree.
The wedding itself was fairly typical of any couple getting married in Vegas on the spur of the moment. They had the $189 beginning beginner's package, even though it was his fifth time and her second time at the altar. She carried red and white roses, walked down the aisle to Here Comes the Bride, and neither one of them dressed up. That's no surprise there. But what was strange was that they were getting married and to each other. To get married, Jolie had to petition the court to finalize her divorce from Johnny Lee Miller.
Yes.
And Thornton broke his engagement to Laura Dern. And as Laura Dern said, I left home to work on a movie, and while I was away, my boyfriend got married. I've never heard from him again.
Personally,
I think she was better off, but it was definitely strange, definitely strange.
That's a good.
And then, of course, actually, a lot of people thought it was strange. Jay Leno loved it and kept making jokes about their marriage and their wedding, you know, on his program. So it was in the news quite a bit.
It was an oddball hookup, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Isn't that when they exchanged vials of blood?
Yes, they did. They wore them, you know,
around their necks. In a little vial.
Yes. She was in the news quite a bit for doing sort of oddball things.
Yeah, I think she's calmed down a little bit now.
That seems that way.
Now that she has children.
She's grown up, right.
Yeah.
Actually, she adopted her first son, Maddox, while she was married to Billy Bob Thornton.
I didn't know that. I thought it was all with Brad Pitt, but I guess not.
Yes. She already had him, yeah. So, actually, just going back a bit, you know, you mentioned Louis B. Mayer when we were talking about Eddie Nelson. And he, you know, Louis B. Nelson was quite, liked to poke his nose in his movie stars' love lives. And he was incensed when Judy Garland ran off to Las Vegas to get married the first time. And he was incensed when Mickey Rooney married Ava Gardner. You know, he had them keep their wedding quiet. That was not in Las Vegas, but he was definitely involved in that.
Yeah, Louis
I'm
B.
back.
Mayer. Yeah.
Oh, you were gone.
I was gone. The gremlins again.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you were kind of quiet.
Yes, I was quiet because I had to call back in. But while you're talking about Uncle Louie, he just absolutely had an iron fist over his talent in terms of the publicity. And I think he probably had their best interests in heart, but he certainly made life miserable for some of them. And
yes,
you had quite a section in your book. What's a Wedding Without Elvis is the title of one of your sections that I really enjoyed. How did Elvis become such a key player in Vegas weddings?
Well, you know, Elvis spent a lot of time in Vegas. Through the 60s, he went there to gamble when he was making movies in Hollywood. During the 70s, he was performing at the International. And Elvis impersonators were around almost from the beginning, and Elvis saw some of them himself. The owner of the Graceland Wedding Chapel told me that she was getting 3 to 4 requests a month for an Elvis impersonator before he died, and then after he died, the number increased substantially.
My
gosh. Diehard Elvis fans, of which there are many, believe it is a privilege to get married in his presence and an honor to help keep his presence alive. For everyone else, it's just a good time. But I noticed at the top of your show you were playing the song Viva Las Vegas, and it's one of the most popular songs heard in an Elvis-themed wedding, even though it has absolutely nothing to do about love or marriage. It's all about gambling.
Yes, it is, but you definitely need to have that song if you're going to talk about Vegas. And thank you to Richard B. Smart for helping us get that song. And
it's a great song. It's a catchy tune. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. It gets you in the mood for Vegas. Well,
it does.
I was thinking about when you were talking about how Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton really didn't dress up, you know, for this wedding. And I remember you wrote about Richard Gere and Cindy Crawford when they got married, and they got kind of a cheapie, I think, and Elvis, a minister dressed like Elvis, and their wedding rings were sculpted out of aluminum foil, so they got kind of the
Yes, yes, very impromptu, very spur of the moment. Yeah.
And that didn't last, but I thought that was the most humorous one. I like the way you, Susan, in the book, you explain how Hollywood films help make Vegas the place where so many people want to go to get married. So what are some of the films that you're thinking about when you wrote that?
Certainly Viva Las Vegas. You know, aside from the great chemistry between Elvis and Anne Margaret and the terrific musical numbers, we get to see Vegas, the different hotels, the shows, the scenery. And, you know, you have to keep watching until the very last minute of that movie. But they do get married, and they're standing in front of the Little Chapel of the West, one of the oldest wedding chapels in Vegas that's still open for business. And I just feel, you know, without the movies, all of these places would be lost. You want to be familiar with them.
I think you're right, and that's a good segue into the next section that we really do want to talk about some of these movies that are set in Vegas or about Vegas or set in with Las Vegas as the setting. Do you have some favorite movies that?
Well, again, I mentioned Ocean's 11, and Ocean's 11 we see the Sahara, the Riviera, the Desert Inn, the Sands, and the Flamingo. And except for the Flamingo, they've all been blown up. But in terms of that, but one of another movie that's a terrific movie. It's not focused on Vegas, but it does. It has some scenes in Vegas, and that's Lost in America with Albert Brooks and Julie Hegarty.
Yeah.
And if you remember, this yuppie couple decides to drop out. And on the way to nowhere, they stop in Vegas planning to get married. And Brooks is so excited. You know, they're in their Winnebago, and he's going, I can't wait to marry you. I just can't wait. And then they pull up in front of the Silver Bells Wedding Chapel. And he's going, look at those bells. This is exciting. I like it. Let's go. Actually, an interesting part about Lost in America or this scene is that in 1985, the wedding industry had really fallen on hard times. People had associated it with being sort of, you know, schlocky and, you know, ripoff. And here you have this guy, you know, excited about it. He's excited. You know, they like the name. They think it's cute.
That is. I remember that movie now. I hadn't thought about that as a Las Vegas movie, but you're right.
It's not a Las Vegas movie. It's just, well, there is another big scene making a Las Vegas movie is that Hegarty, I think he goes to sleep and she goes down to gamble and loses their next nest egg, and that sort of sets the rest of the movie in motion. But that
certainly fits the category. Are there any others that you really enjoy?
Actually, there are a lot. There's Bugsy.
Oh, Bugsy! Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned. You can't have Bugsy. You can't have a show about Las Vegas and not mention Bugsy. After all, Bugsy Siegel is sometimes called the father of Las Vegas, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's a gangster movie, and it's a Hollywood movie.
we hit all three. And great performances. Great performances.
Oh, terrific. Yes, yes. And it's where Beatty and Annette Bening met, or remet, and fell in love on the set.
In fact, James, I don't know whether you know this, but when Bugsy was being made, Annette Bening visited Mesa College. Now, I was a dean of humanities at Mesa College, and she had been one of our drama students, and she came to do a workshop and, you know, to do a question and answer for the drama students. And any time anybody would ask her anything about Warren Beatty, she was just a little, you know, very, very cautious about anything that she said about him. And I thought, I wonder what those two are up to. And so then a few weeks later when they, you know, announced that they were married, it didn't surprise me at all because I thought something was going on there. But they were great together in that film.
Yes, terrific.
Both, both beautiful and very seductive but manipulative. And but he's the one who had Bugsy is the one who had the vision for Vegas.
Oh, yes. And yes. Actually, there's
without
a line.
Him.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's all about Bugsy Siegel. There's a line in the movie spoken by Ben Kingsley, who's playing Meyer Lansky, one of Bugsy's partners in crime. And he says to Bugsy, "I don't understand this desert thing of yours. What are we, Bedouins?"
Yeah, Bedouins. That's right. I remember.
It was hard
that.
To see. It was the middle of the desert, and Vegas, actually Vegas was founded in 1905, so this is 40 years later, but it still was basically a cow town. And
exactly. Yeah. Well, did James, did you see Bugsy?
Do we lose James?
I think we have. Yes, I think we've lost James. So we're having definitely some problems with the gremlins today. So I'm sorry about that. Well,
yeah.
Were there let's go ahead and talk with these talk about these movies because you're on a roll. So Bugsy, and then
Honeymoon in Vegas, 1992, with Sarah Jessica Parker, Nicolas Cage, and James Caan. And this movie starts off with Nicolas Cage lamenting the fact that his girlfriend wants to get married. And he finally decides to do it if they go to Las Vegas, and that's how they end up in Las Vegas, planning to get married. And then I'm sure, as you remember, they meet James Caan, whose character's wife had died, and Sarah Jessica Parker's character is a dead ringer for his dead wife, and he falls in love with Sarah Jessica Parker and whisks her off to Hawaii. And Nicolas Cage follows. And then Sarah Jessica Parker and James Caan characters return to Las Vegas, and Cage has to return to following them has to return to Las Vegas, and he doesn't have much money, and he ends up hitching a flight with some flying Elvi.
Yes, I remember that was a great scene in that movie. Elvis is everywhere. Yes.
Elvis is everywhere, falling out of the sky, and at the very end, Cage and Sarah Jessica Parker do get married at a chapel, and they're surrounded by all of these Elvi and Elvis costumes. But the scene where they drop out of the sky is fabulous. You know, they have on the white jumpsuits. It's very,
yes.
Very late Elvis. But
that's a perfect movie for our show to talk about. And I think James is back on the line. So James, do you have any Las Vegas movies that you'd like to share with us that are your favorites?
Oh, my gosh, I think she mentioned all of them that were ever made.
Not quite.
Actually, there really are a lot more. Actually, I'd just like to comment, I don't really have anything to say about, but Diamonds Are Forever, the James Bond movie, takes place in Vegas.
Right.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. And let's see what else. The more recently, actually, it goes back to 2003, is The Cooler with William Macy.
Oh, wonderful film.
Which is a great film and very gangster-oriented. And the character, who's really sort of a sad sack, you know, is bemoaning how Vegas has changed, you know. And actually, Alec Baldwin is in that, too.
Yes, he is. He's great.
He's a boss. He's one of the bosses. Yeah.
There is another movie, too, that was filmed in Las Vegas, and that was the wonderful Burt Wonderstone with the... This past year.
Yes.
It was a bomb, but...
It was about magicians.
Magicians, yeah. Jim Carrey and Steve Carell.
Right.
It played here about 2 days, so I missed it.
Well, it was a bomb.
Sorry
about that.
But it was a Vegas. Yeah, it was a Vegas movie. Well, you know, we're going to have to talk about the latest Las Vegas movie, which was released last Friday, Last Vegas. And Susan, I know when we talked before the show, you did see it over the weekend. So
I did. Yes.
Did you give that thumbs up or thumbs down?
I do give it thumbs up. actually a pretty big thumbs up. You know, the cast, I mean, to a certain extent, you're going not just to see Las Vegas, but to see Michael Douglas and Morgan Freeman and Kevin Kline and Robert De Niro. And they were terrific. Yeah. I mean, they really got into their characters. They didn't walk through it at all. I thought they were terrific. And their stories were touching. And the movie, I also thought was terrific because it brings, for people who haven't been there in a while, it brings Las Vegas up to date with all of the dance clubs and such.
Yeah.
And the partying and the pool scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and listeners, if you haven't seen it, I give it a big thumbs up too, because it really there you see these four Oscar winners. Well, five, because Mary Steenburgen is in.
Oh, yes, yes.
She
yes.
was just. They were all just at the top of their game. They seem to just love working together. And some people are calling it a hangover for senior citizens, you know, the hangover movies senior citizens. But this is, to me, it's just much better than hangover. And wait until you see, dear listeners, if you haven't seen this, wait until you see Morgan Freeman dancing.
Oh, great. He's terrific.
Love it. Oh, and... And to see Mary Steenburgen as a lounge singer in Binion's, it's just, you can't believe. I mean, she's on my list for best supporting actress for this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that good. So both of us are highly recommending that. And it really did have lots of laughs, and then you do tear up a little bit.
Yes, I know. There's something sentimental about it. It was good.
And it has to do with the wedding. It has to do with the wedding because, one, Michael Douglas's character is getting married to someone that could probably be his granddaughter, and he's calling his three friends, and they're going to give him a – and then they decided they're going to give him a bachelor party in Las Vegas, and so they all come, you know, to Las Vegas, and it's what happens there and the changes, and, you know, it's just – because two of them are on the outs, and that's Michael Douglas's character and De Niro's character, and so there's a lot of push-pull, a lot of dramatics there, but funny stuff, good one-liners. The whole thing just sparkles. I just really was so happy to see that, and I wasn't expecting that much from it, and neither was my husband, and he liked it too, so he would give it a big thumbs up too. So James, you've got to see Last Vegas.
I do. I missed the film critic screening because I think I was in Germany at that time and I missed it, but I'll see it. Maybe I'll get a screener.
I think they should send them out for your consideration. Those screeners are coming out, so I think you probably will get that because there's some things there that I think should be awarded during the awards season. Well, what about leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage? You talked about Honeymoon in Vegas, and I think we should go to the other extreme with Nicolas Cage for when he won his Oscar for playing an alcoholic who went to Las Vegas to commit suicide, and that's how Cage won his Oscar. And what did you think about? Did you see that movie?
I read I read the book, and after reading the book, I could not see the movie.
I understand.
What else can I say? I mean, it was, and I didn't remember that Cage won an Oscar for his part. I know it was supposed to be very good, but I mean, really, the down and dirty side of Las Vegas.
It was.
Yeah.
It was like a film noir. It was kind of like a film noir. Not the type of movie that you expect, you know, to be made about Las Vegas, but it was just excellent. Mm-hmm. And definitely is one that you're not going to get any laughs out of, that's for sure. But it's very well done. He well deserved his Oscar. I definitely was not disappointed when he won. I cannot believe that this time has gone by so fast, but you guys always make it go by so fast. Do you know we only have 5 more minutes left, and so I want to make sure to tell everybody where they can get a copy of Las Vegas Weddings. So, Sue, now's your time to give that information
out. Give my pitch?
Yes.
I do have a website, LasVegasWeddingsTheBook.com, or you can buy it online, Amazon or Barnes & Noble online. It's out there.
Well, I'm going to give that again. It's www.LasVegasWeddingsTheBook.com. And I think it would make a wonderful gift for any movie addicts on your shopping list. So, dear listeners, do check it out. Well, it's time to wrap things up now. So this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to Susan Marg for being such an entertaining and informative guest again today, and to James Cole Harrison for doing an excellent job of co-hosting as usual. Thanks
Yay.
To the folks at Blog Talk Radio and to Nikki Starr for all her help, and to Richard B. Smart for his technical assistance, as well as to our chatters. And we've had a lot of them, Comedy Concepts. Nancy Lombardo, the host of Comedy Concepts on Fridays and Mondays at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Eddie Bizworld, Kat Vecchione, we already mentioned. Richard B. Smart, Steve Mendoza from The Steve Mendoza Show, The Wacko Network and Wacko Bob. Thanks, chatters, for participating. And sorry we didn't get a chance to present some of your comments. They're very, very perceptive, and it was a lot of fun watching some of the things that you said in the chat room. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Thank you so much, and please come back next time for a discussion of Lion Arc, one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. The director and co-screenwriter will be here to talk about their incredible experience in rescuing 25 abused African lions in Bolivia and the filming of this riveting real-life adventure. Please don't miss this episode. You'll be absolutely amazed at what Tim Phillips and Jan Creamer reveal during their in-depth interview. I also want to mention that I'm looking forward to being a guest on Amy Beth Arkway's Friday show called Friday at the Movies. Amy is another Blog Talk Radio host, and we'll be talking about classic and contemporary movies at noon Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, and that's Amy Beth Arkway. I'll be posting about that on Facebook, so you'll get more information there on my Facebook page. In the meantime, don't you forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. That's all for now, folks. So let's call on Elvis again. Yeah, I mean, after
Absolutely.
All, Elvis is everywhere in Las Vegas. So here he is, back to take us out with more Viva Las Vegas.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-arm bandits crashing, almost haunt down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna get rid of a thing I've got. Lady love, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. I'm Fever Las Vegas. Fever.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.